afternoon. Today is Thursday, December the 19th, 347th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, still the naive kid on the block, Fred Van Fleck.
Thank you.
But you're getting there, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. After our board meeting that went till 10:30 last week.
That sounds like an early one. Would you break the keg early?
No, that's actually the longest we've gone so far.
Really?
Yes.
When do you start?
We start with a study session. Last Thursday, we started at 4:30.
So you didn't take a dinner break?
No, there's a dinner break. Dinner gets served to the board members as we meet. So we get the most value out of our time.
Oh, but you're not a board member.
No, I'm not. So our food services cooks dinner for us. Comes out of same people that cook the meals for our students.
Oh, the Meals on Wheels will go driving around town.
Well, a little different group.
Okay, but. Fine. Well, I see the truck, and it's got all the produce and stuff on the side. Says Eureka City School.
That's the one.
Driving all over town.
That's the one, yes.
Oh.
So when he said Meals on Wheels, that used to be a trademark for senior citizen meals down in the valley.
Yeah, well, it was
maybe
here
too.
Yeah, yeah. You done?
I'm done.
All right. When we come back, we'll talk a bit about, Fred wants to know what's the difference between boys and girls, and he'll point those out when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fred Van Fleck, but before we do, our quote this afternoon. Well, I've got a Clarence Darrow and a Sigmund Freud. And since we've already got into that one area, I'll let you choose which one. Do you want the lawyer or you want the psychologist?
Psychologist, of course, yes.
All right, for 100, right?
Yes.
Quote, most people do not really want freedom because freedom involves responsibility, and most people are frightened of responsibility.
Ooh, I think that'll rile up some listeners.
Yeah, well, maybe. Or maybe not. When you're looking at the student body, general descriptive, does it matter to you whether they're male, whether they're female, what their biological age is, or do you just kind of look at classroom enrollment at each campus and that's about as close as you get typically?
Well, generally we don't look at male and female, and of course until you go to PE, they have their own locker rooms.
I do remember that part of my education.
If you go back in history, though, actually males and females were segregated much more than they are today. They're really not segregated at all. And one of the things that's really interesting about that is males and females, they learn differently. And it creates for some interesting conversation as you thinking about how you educate students out there.
Oh, come on. You can't just stop and say they learn differently. They communicate differently. You've got battle scars. You've got a ring on your finger. Don't give me that. You know that.
Yes, yeah. I've been successfully married for a while now, for a long while. And
the doghouse is still for the dog?
Most nights.
Okay, yes, good. Yes. So your survivability is doing well.
Yes.
That kind of gets into, I guess, maybe a bigger scope. People learn differently. There's the visual, there's the kinesthetic, the intuitive, and then there's the auditory.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do the teachers know that?
Absolutely they know
that. Do they teach to that?
Absolutely they teach to that. And at varying skill levels, some teachers are masters at that, and some teachers aren't as masterful as others at that. But when we start talking about the difference between boys and girls, because we could go on all day on all the different learning modalities that are out there and all the different ways that people learn and all the different levels that people are on, you know, with intelligence, et cetera, et cetera. But if we really zero in on this difference between males and females, it's really interesting what's happened over the last 40 years as far as achievement of the females compared to the males. One of the stats that's really interesting out there is if you look back in 1970, only 14% of girls, women, ladies that started college completed a degree. You fast forward to 2013, 36% of ladies who start college complete a degree. On the flip side, 27% currently of males who start college complete college. And you go back 40 years and that number is basically unchanged. So it's really interesting what's been happening with the female students and the difference in what's been happening in the educational process with them.
So there are more females now finishing college with degrees than guys?
These figures are people that started college. So we're neutralizing the factor of people that never even go on and start college at all. These are people that start college. So I can't tell you in raw numbers. I can just tell you in the number of people that start, more females are finishing than males.
So in looking at that, I would think that obviously that's changing the job environment that's out there also.
Mm-hmm.
How does that impact the K-12?
Well, where it impacts K-12, this is an interesting fact too, and this is speaking more globally than just Eureka City Schools, but the research has shown that the females are getting better grades than the boys, and they're performing better on teacher-based assessments. But interestingly enough, they are not performing better on the standards-based assessments around the state. And what that really points to, and what researchers have really been pointing to, there's a big study on this out of the University of Georgia, so I want to give them credit for this study, that talked about why is it that girls are getting better grades, but they're not performing better on standardized tests. And what they concluded was that girls are better students.
But really weak test takers?
Not necessarily. Better students in the fact that they're more compliant. They're more concerned about their future. They work harder. They have this thing that I like to refer to as grit, and that's the tenacity to make sure that they just get it done.
But wouldn't that translate into the test scores?
It doesn't, and I don't know the answer for that, and I don't know why it doesn't, but right now it does not translate into the test scores. It only translates into the grades that they're receiving inside the classroom.
Huh. And the guys are constant?
The guys
are consistent, I guess.
Yeah, the guys are consistent. And one of the theories that's out there on why the guys aren't doing so well is that you know, I'll just get it done through brute strength. It really doesn't matter whether I have a college education or not. I'll be fine. I don't have to work that hard.
There's a macho hyphen phrase that leaps to my mind. We'll talk about it during the break. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:19.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. The North Coast Repertory Theater is now celebrating its 30th season with 6 treats for Humboldt audiences. First is the George S. Kaufman Moss Hart Pulitzer Prize-winning comedy, You Can't Take It With You. Then the musical, You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, based on the Peanuts comic strip. After the holidays, there'll be a double feature straight from ancient Greece, the murderous tragedy Oedipus the King and the comedy Women in Congress. Next is the side-splitting Complete Works of William Shakespeare, a parody in which all 17 of the Bard's plays are played in 97 minutes. Late spring features the North Coast premiere of the popular Les Miserables. The season ends with The Poor of New York, a melodrama from 1857 of the problems of a middle-class family not all that different from today's. For dates, times, and details, call 442-6278. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic organization dedicated to the people and events that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fred Van Fleck. Fred, this, I guess, not recognition of, but confirmation of the differences between the sexes going into college. I know some of the stereotypes that everybody plays to. Yeah, the gals are there and they're looking for a spouse.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they weren't graduating to the same extent. And now with kids not marrying typically until their late 20s or early 30s.
Is it okay if I make a confession on the air?
You did?
I went to college looking for a spouse too. It worked out for me.
Yeah, yeah, but how about for her?
Well, I think it
not
did.
Not quite so, huh? Worst phrase, not so much. Yeah.
I would like to think it did.
Yeah, I know you would. But it seems like with this, particularly in the last little bit, the millennials, but you also got the Generation X kids that are in this boat, and probably a third of the baby boomers also. Was it a gradual trend? Or were there significant demarcation points that in a two-year window, say, all of a sudden there was a 10% shift or something more cataclysmic-like?
I think it was more of a gradual trend. And I think that some of our female students woke up to the reality that they can go out in the workforce. And that's something different than what the reality was 40 years ago.
Well, yeah, in the 60s, it was still single parent.
Yep. Yep. And that reality has just changed.
Single parent paycheck.
And I think that the ladies, and I'm just over stereotyping here, figured out that they can get there through hard work. And sometimes they have to work harder to get there. There still is a reality out in the work world for comparable jobs that the ladies make 86 cents on the dollar to the males. And there's all this theory that's out there about the glass ceiling and several different areas. I'm thankful that education isn't one of those areas so much as some of the other areas in the world. And in fact, the education world is always looking for qualified male teachers.
Yeah, it's kind of an inverted
it really is.
Situation.
And that brings up another interesting question, and there's no real clear research on this. Is it females are doing better because the majority of the teachers out there are female? That's a question. Nobody really knows the answer to that. It'd be an interesting dissertation topic for somebody someday.
That means a study?
That's your doctorate study.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Or real world if you're a sales guy.
Or real world if you're a sales guy. Sure. Sure. Yes.
Yeah. We don't sell by the pound, though. So as you have some of this information now kind of available or in front, does that change how you want school to be taught at the high school level, either encouraging the guys or kind of sharing some of this stuff? I mean, what is it? Information without action is entertainment?
Great question. So this gap really starts happening much before the high school years. It really starts happening in the early intermediate grades, meaning
Math and the girls doing some.
Well, it's not even so much. It's everywhere. It's not just math and science. The boys outperforming the girls in math and science anymore. It's the girls outperforming across the board. And that gap is starting to happen younger. And so what we're doing to specifically address that in Eureka City Schools is we've adopted this new set of instructional norms district-wide. And these instructional norms are all about the teacher and how they instruct the students. And what the research has shown, even out of this study in the University of Georgia, the best way to increase the achievement of the girls, increase the achievement of the boys at the same time, and equalize that out is through high-quality instruction, rather than the kids just coming inside the classroom and getting what they get when the teacher is this age up on the stage.
So a little less emphasis on recess and a little bit more in the classroom?
A little more emphasis, not on how the students learn, but emphasis on how the teacher teaches.
Now, I would think for some that's going to be quite a reset of how they approach life, the professional life.
So it's really interesting. You look at Humboldt County, across the county, our teaching staff is a very veteran staff. They've been teaching for a long time. Some of them have been teaching all the way back into the 70s, late 70s, most of them. But Our staff, Eureka City Schools, very veteran. Two out of every three of our teachers have been there for 20 plus years. And how you go about educating children has changed over the last 20 years. And it changes all the time. And we're in this brand new movement of moving towards the new Common Core National Standards, which I just heard you had a telephone opinion poll on the other day about should our standards be statewide or national. And the state continues to think the state, or Humboldt County anyways, continues to think that the state should control the standards. But the reality is it's going to a national set of standards. And the teachers that have been here for a long time have gone from local standards to state standards to now national standards.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 3:30.
Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast. This is Jim Ritter with Humboldt Live in the Arcata High School Career and College Center. Do you have life and work experiences that could be of benefit to our local youth? We're recruiting community members to mentor and share ideas with our middle and high school students. Please call me at 839-5114 for more information. The Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fred Van Fleck. Fred, so you've got a veteran seasoned staff on board. I would think that you probably within that group then have different personalities. Those that do look in the rearview mirror and go, boy, look at how much has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Even just using a computer. For some of them, way back in the in the dark ages when we were in school,
right
up to today, everybody has one. When we were going through no calculators, now you're probably really frowned upon if you don't have.
Well, your calculators are on your cell phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, in looking at that, do you sense now with this information and a higher quality, I would think means that the thresholds of acceptability have been ramped up also. Are the teachers recognizing this as a challenge and having fun with it? Or are we digging in our heels to our hips saying, not me?
So let's take the two extremes and get rid of them first. Our two extremes are the teachers that are out there that are up for anything and they will do everything, and they are the first on board, the early adopters of everything new in education. Then you've
in
got
life.
Your yes,
yeah, I mean, they're always going to be there. Yeah.
Then you've got your laggards who don't want to adopt anything new. And so let's take those two extremes off. And so now we're talking about the bulk of the majority of our teachers in Eureka City Schools. We have 200 teachers approximately. So I would say 175 of those are the bulk of the majority. The 25
yeah, knock 15 off each end.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So anyways, when we're looking at those teachers and we talk about these instructional norms that I was just talking about, these are research-based instructional norms that were actually chosen by the teachers, chosen by those 170 teachers that I just talked about on how they can improve instruction inside their classroom every day. So I would argue that the teachers are ready to move this forward and do a better job for instruction for kids. Because let's face it, teachers get in the business because they want to make a difference for kids. And it's no different here in Eureka. That's what they're here for. They want to make a huge difference in the lives of the students that they're teaching.
So, Kemosabe, how do you avoid the cardinal numeral syndrome where everybody's jumping on board? This is the greatest thing. Yeah, I know you don't remember, but I was in fifth grade when that hit the fan.
So is that you recognize that blank stare I gave you, huh?
Subsets, supersets, cardinal numerals, all this garbage that got thrown out about 5 or 6 years later. The concept, the question, I guess, is all this new, great, wonderful, whiz-bang, okay, fine, is it going to become culturally accepted, integrated in, proved to be valuable, and then part of the educational norm? Or is this the newest, greatest, latest fad, trendy thing, and it'll be here, and poof, it'll disappear, and we won't see it at the end of the decade?
So that's the interesting thing about what we're talking about, instructional norms. It's not so much about – instructional norms have absolutely nothing to do with what we teach – It has everything to do with how we teach. So the new national Common Core standards, previously the state standards, that was all about what we teach. That's been prescribed to us. We have to follow that. The state has handed that down to us. We have no choice. Teachers and students are held accountable to those standards. Where we do have the freedom, however, is how we deliver that. And the most important thing when we focus on how we deliver that is look at the correlation, and the instructional norms that we have actually have some correlation factors with student success and student achievement. The things that have the highest correlation with student success and student achievement. And when you look
Okay, give it up. Give it up. What's the top two?
So, well, here's the top one. Let me give it to you first. The students need to know what they're expected to learn. So teachers need to have clear, well-written objectives on the board that does two things. Number one, it gives the roadmap to the students on what they're expected to learn for the day. And number two, it gives the teacher a framework to ask himself at the end of the lesson, was I successful in my lesson when I taught it?
So these are daily expectations or weekly?
Daily expectations.
Okay.
And so many of our schools have taken the task of having an objective on the board for every single one of the things they teach. And if you step back and think about that in an elementary classroom, they are going from math to English to social science to science to PE, and their objectives get real long. But you know what? It's been real successful, and the teachers are doing a fantastic job of getting them up there on the board, not only for them, but also in that student-friendly language and covering it with the students so they understand what it is they're expected to learn when they leave.
What's the second one?
So a second one would be engagement strategies. And that has a huge
English
correlation.
Here, Kimasabi.
Engagement strategies means right now you're listening intently to what I'm saying, right? So you're engaged in my conversation. That's the same thing that we're asking the teachers to do. So there's some very, very basic engagement strategies, and there's some very high-level skill engagement strategies. And it goes from everything from how you ask the questions, like, for instance, no opt-out. In English, that means if you're a student in my classroom, you can't say, I don't know.
We're going to hold you accountable. You can't vote present?
You can't vote present, yes. So you can't say, I don't know. We're not going to let you opt out that easy. And we're going to make sure that we're calling on not just the kids raising their hand, because guess what? The kids that are raising the hand are the kids that know the answer to the questions.
They got
it nailed,
yeah.
Yes. We're looking for those kids that are sitting in the back of the classroom that are just trying to make their way through the lesson and be unseen inside the classroom, and get them accountable for what we're trying to teach them on that objective that I talked about.
Kind of like volunteering for the next fundraising event.
There you go.
Everybody checks out the floor and the shoelaces.
Yeah, imagine how it would be if you go to your next meeting and the chairman of the next fundraising event will be determined by random selection. That'll put you on the edge of your seat.
That'll drop down attendance big time. KINS, News and Information Times 342. We'll be back with more from Fred Van Fleck.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions, 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass, 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Eureka City Superintendent of Schools, Fred Van Fleck. Fred, we've been talking on the teachers so far pretty much. Now, you got these new strategies, and okay, the kids are still a critical component of this equation.
Key, yes.
Yeah. So when you talk about clear expectations, or you talk about getting them involved, whether we use the highfalutin engaging strategies, or we just say getting them involved. There are different levels of each of those, obviously, that personalities will allow.
And home life.
Yeah, we get 25 parents together, and talking to them is going to be different because of their experiences, their cultures, whatnot. Their ages are going to be a little bit different. Their past experiences are going to be different. How they communicate at home with others, da, da, da. So with that variability that's out there, times 25 or 30 kids, how do you...
Or times 1,700 at our high school.
Well, yeah, but nobody's teaching everybody at once. Yeah, I don't think.
But if you look
do
at
you
a
have
high,
the lecture hall,
if you look at a high school teacher, they have 5 classes of 30, so they have 150 kids.
Okay, okay, that I understand what you're saying now.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of. You've got me halfway engaged. How do you?
I'm going to give you some random selection here in a second.
Okay. How do we develop the approach for folks who oftentimes are accustomed to teaching in their style and having the students adapt to them rather than this juxtaposition where now they're having to adapt to the students?
So I guess a different way you could phrase the question that you have there, how are we holding teachers accountable to teach under the instructional norms? Is that a fair assessment of what you're asking?
No, not the accountability, because that'll happen with the testing. You guys have got pounds and pounds of tests and documentations and reports and research. Mm-hmm.
But the tests don't
But for the kids themselves to engage. So the kids, if you stopped row 3, seat 4 in a classroom and said, is this stuff making sense to you? Are you getting out of it what you wanted to? That there would be a, yeah, and this is a fun class.
So here's the interesting thing that I do. One of my key components that I do, I'm on almost every single school campus that we have. We have 8 of them in Eureka City Schools once a week. And one of the things that I do when I go out and visit those classrooms is I do exactly what you're just talking about right there. I'll stop, I'll ask a student, and this is my favorite question, what is it you're learning today? And then the next question is, why? And that really answers the question to how the students are doing inside the classroom. And so we also have, so that's more of an informal level when I'm out visiting classrooms. And it's interesting when I'm in the store, it's kind of fun because kids will come up.
Now the kids are coming up to you,
hey,
yeah.
That's the principal of principals. That's what they call me, the principal of principals. So it's kind of fun that the kids know me out there. But the other thing that we do
I'm glad they're not calling you the King of Kings.
Yes,
that would mean you'd have to put on about 50 pounds of muscle.
Hey, I'm feeling pretty buff here.
You know, I know who I'd bet on in a wrestling match.
Yeah. I think you're safe there. So the other thing that we've done is we've actually done what's called a formal site instructional visit, where we actually have teachers joining on with our administrative team and going around to schools and visiting all the classrooms inside that school. And what that does is it allows us to provide feedback to that school on not how an individual teacher is doing, but how their program is doing. And we just initiated that this fall, and we're getting ready for our second round of those this spring. And we're excited to bring the teachers on board with that because we want to make a whole community of teachers, administrators that are really looking at these instructional norms to make our level of instruction better.
Are these announced or planned?
So the visits. Ones that I go out and do that are informal are not announced. It's completely random. The principal knows I'm coming, but the teachers don't. However, the formal instructional site visits are announced and planned, and they know that we're coming.
Why one, not the other?
Because there's two equations here. One of them is, do they know how to do it as a teacher? And number two is, are they doing it? So with the formal and the informal both, that gives us a good answer to that question.
You're getting it. Cool stuff. Thanks for coming by.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Even though you got stood up by your buddy. That's okay. I wouldn't take that too personal.
I'll try not to.
Yeah, okay. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.